It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I was wearing a pair of Crocs.
With like Crocs.
I was Crocsing it. I have an old pair in the garage, and I said if I'm going to commit to mulching, I'm going to wear
shorts or no?
Shorts, Crocs, and mulch.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This is just an old school rocker tune.
This is
right off of Mark Mullen's playlist.
This is Oshawa, right here, Friday night.
I love Metallica.
Garage open. I love it.
Send out the smoke signal. Anyone with beers can pop by. If the garage door is open, you're all welcome.
What is the smoke signal? Just everyone smoking and there's just smoke piling out of the garage?
Yeah, it's literally smoke. It's cigarette
smoke. It's
not
a sign or a text or anything. It's like, hey, they're smoking over in that garage. I'm going over to have
it's not even intentional. You know, it's not even really a smoke signal. There just happens to be a lot of smoke, and people are like, hey, there must be a bunch of idiots over there boozing and smoking. I guess I will invite myself to the party.
I think Metallica is one of the greatest bands that were ever made. Ever.
This has to be the best hype song I've ever come across.
Welcome to the Jungle has to be there, too.
I would put this one top of my list.
Really?
Like, if I had the opportunity to live a fantasy and skate onto the ice game 7 of a cup final, this would be the song I would want on.
I think Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle's pretty good, too, to skate out to.
I'm not disputing that it's a great tune, but...
Yeah, you're right. I love Metallica. I love Sad But True. I love... There's 10 songs that you could rattle off from Metallica that would be right at the top of my list to skate out to get pumped up to on a Saturday night before you go to the bar, whatever.
There's good dance tunes on the rink, too.
What do you mean?
Just upbeat stuff, get you pumped up.
I used to like the System of a Down. They have some heavy stuff that you'd come skating out to.
Well, you'd be grossed out if you went to a modern-day warm-up. Like, now they play Drake and Bieber and...
Yeah, it's
terrible.
Listen, it's different.
There's no
rhythm to it.
It's just garbage.
It's annoying. Like, it's not even that I don't like that music, but at that particular moment, that's not what you're looking for. You're trying to get into the game, and you're listening to Hotline Bling.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not good.
Who's going to get fired up from that?
You know what I've been watching lately? Like, I always cruise around YouTube clips. You could Google and go on YouTube, Metallica full show at the Global Citizen in New York, September 24th of 2016. James Hatfield puts a show on. Like, this guy...
He's had some ups and downs in his life as well. You talk about being in a dark place.
Oh, yeah. But he's dialed in on this one. He's a great guitarist. Mm-hmm. This is I watch that. If I'm in the shower or something, have some music on in the background, I'll have it on my computer.
Get some Metallica going and you'll
work.
Be fired up for
exactly.
That shower and ready to rock. A lot of people are wondering what Nashville was doing in between the first and second period. And maybe looking at it the opposite way,
Pittsburgh.
What Pittsburgh was like, what were they listening to? Sinatra in between the first and second? Christmas music? What happened to that team? They won, but a lot of people are coming out of that saying they should not feel good about
themselves.
There's
only two different angles you can take from it. Pittsburgh, on the positive, can say going into the next game, you know what? We were pretty much garbage.
We were terrible.
And we still snuck out a 5-3 win. Or the other angle is Pittsburgh better watch out because Nashville, they had some unlucky breaks. They had the 5-on-3. And they're going to come back, and you better watch out for them because if they get anywhere close to 5-on-5 for the majority of the game, they'll destroy them. So which one are you taking?
I thought it was a terrible game from an entertainment standpoint. Were you entertained?
I was entertained because I thought there was enough that came out of it in terms of material.
Well,
like that's how warped I am
yes.
Now.
For our show, you're sitting there and going, okay, the offside call, there's two segments right
well,
there.
God,
really,
did that chap your ass.
I hate it. I really hate it. And I understand I'm risking redundancy here because I go on these rants every like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I, as I said on Scotty Mac's show no more than 30 minutes ago,
oh, yeah?
I am done with technology. I'm done with review. I am pro human error.
Really?
I am pro human error in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, but Brian, if you I'm don't do it. The replay, you're just going to deal with people griping and complaining, saying, sending you pictures of the offside, saying, this goal should have never come. Like, do you want that?
Yes, I do. That's what I want.
Because you're just going to write back and say, I don't care. It's human error.
Exactly. Live with it. We lived with it for 100 years.
You're
right. It's so stupid. It's so stupid, and it takes away from the fan experience, and that's my point. You're in the moment. You're in the building, and PK shut that place up.
Yeah.
Subban scores, and you could hear a pin drop in that place. And then 5 minutes later, we find out that Forsberg maybe had one of his blades off the ice by a millimeter. It had no bearing on the play.
No
bearing on the outcome of anything. It's ludicrous that they allow this to be a part of their program.
The one thing that you have been is consistent in your message.
I hate it.
Because I think there was a call that went against the Leafs near the end of the season where you were like, gotta live with it. And that's the only thing I always say, is careful what you wish for, because when it happens. But if you're consistent with your message and you hate it, you have to live with the good calls and the bad calls. And we said going into the playoffs, instant replay is going to cost. It's going to be a controversy. I'm waiting for the goaltender interference one
Listen,
to come in too.
I give any sports league, any business model credit for being creative and trying things. You tried it. It hasn't worked. That is where I take issue with it. I don't have an issue with you trying these things. They've tried it.
Right.
And based on the letter of the law, they got it right last night. Like, people are goofing on Bettman because of what he said before the game, talking about the offside rule. He was right.
Yeah.
He said, listen, this is the rule. We're calling it the way it's supposed to be called. And guess what? Last night, it was called the way it was supposed to be called, based on the letter of the law. It's not the actual application of the rule that I take issue with. It's the fact that you have it in your game to begin with.
Yeah.
Why do you allow the energy to be sucked out of your product the way it was last night?
Well, another factor
is stupid.
We're talking about a league that's starving for goals, thinking about all these different ways to score goals. And we're calling back goals. And I told you before, I like the idea of getting it right because I don't want to take a minus if it's actually offside. But we're talking about a skate blade on the ice, off the ice. And that wasn't even, like, it went in the zone and was cycled around a bit.
Ron Hainsey threw a muffin, and he just gets completely off the hook.
Yeah.
Like, he had possession. He could have done anything with that puck. He turned it over, and the Predators pounced.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at the blue line 20 seconds before had no bearing on the way everything played out.
It did.
Absolutely no bearing. And if I'm Nashville, listen, that's the rule. You can hate it. I'm sure it's gone their way before in the past, including probably in the playoffs at some point.
Right.
But I do think that changed the game. Like, if that rule is not there, they're up 1-0, and who knows where the game goes.
Yeah.
And then a phantom call on the 5-on-3.
Yeah.
I thought the officiating, everything, it just felt awkward last night.
It was awkward. I just didn't like the flow of the game. It's not like Nashville were world beaters. Could you think of five tough saves Matt Murray had to make? Like, it was a weird game. Like, it was Pittsburgh would turn it over and flip it back into the neutral zone. Nashville would regroup. Pittsburgh would force everything. The outside, they'd attempt a shot. Yeah, the attempts and the shot attempts and all that. The shots on goal were, what, 26-12? Like, it was an ugly, like, I thought from an entertainment standpoint, it was a terrible hockey game. Like, you could tell first game, both teams wanting to feel each other out. And let's see, there was no real hatred or animosity. You could see maybe by game 3 or 4, this is going to get revved up a little bit because Hornquist is going to be a pain in the ass. Arvidsson, James Neal goes hard to the net on Matt Murray. Like, you can tell this is going to get ramped up real quick.
See, but I found some excitement in it where it's just, it could have played out 3-0, ended up 4-1 with an empty net, or at least there was the comeback, and then the goal scored with three minutes left out. For me, there was some excitement there. It was like, and Peter Laviolette, when his Carolina Hurricanes went to Edmonton for game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, they were down 3-0, and they won that game 5-4.
Really?
So we almost did the same thing again in a game 1, but he couldn't pull it off.
I think the execution of play to your point, Noodles, was sloppy at times and strange. But I think there were actually a lot of memories that came out of the game. I think that's a game we're going to remember for a long time. A strange game, but, 37 minutes in between shots, bookended by goals.
Right.
Not just shots, bookended by goals. The offside call that changed the game, the catfish being thrown onto the ice, and then the guy gets arrested.
He should be arrested.
Arrested for that.
Did Ken Pagan get arrested?
Ken Pagan threw a beer bottle at a player. It hit a player while the play was ongoing.
Kenny Peggs pleaded guilty.
I saw that today. He was trending on Twitter. We got to give him some love.
Shout out to Ken Pagan.
Point is don't be an idiot.
Well, how about
that's
the guy, Jake?
What is going to happen to him?
I don't know.
You know what he should get? He should get a massive fine, and he should have a criminal record for that.
Well, how about
it's an idiotic move?
How about the dope at the Jays game last night?
He's a friend of the show.
That ran.
Not Ken Pagan. Oh. I'm talking the guy with the catfish. Sorry.
The guy that ran on the field during the play last night at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
That guy needs to give his head a shake. Like, it's one thing.
I was hoping
you should never throw anything on the field. These guys are humans. They're out there working. It's stupid. Don't become that guy. If you're going to streak and you're going to run on the field, last night's game was probably the one that you would do it. It was 17-2. The Jays had 23 hits, but the game was over by like the third inning. Tulo hit that grand slam, and it was done.
Guy,
but you can't run on the field when the ball is in play.
It was a pop-up. It was hilarious. No, I wasn't talking about Ken Pagan getting a massive fine and a criminal record. I was talking about the guy who throws the catfish on the ice. It's idiotic.
Well, it's become a thing now, right? That's Nashville's thing. The guy apparently brought the catfish from Nashville.
Can you imagine how stinky his car would be?
I don't know. Maybe he flew up. We got to find more details on that. Imagine flying beside that guy. What do you have in your overhead department?
Yeah, in your carry-on.
Just a catfish rotting that I'm going to throw on the ice tonight?
I'm going to tape it to my disgusting body and then throw it on the ice. You know my philosophy. I hate the Detroit, then the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay consistent with my message. The playing ice, the playing field and that should be off limits. Shout out to Ken Pagan. He's going to pay the piper, and he'll move on with his life.
He'll move on with his life.
And that'll be fine. But the catfish guy, he deserves the full letter of the law. And the guy running on the field should have been tasered.
You're pro-taser in those situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the tasing, it's a spicy meatball, man. You get into a good argument with someone that's anti-tasing.
Have you ever been tased?
I've never been tased.
Have you?
Yes.
What was that like?
I was drunk, and we were at a music festival, and one of our buddies is a cop, so we were messing around. I said,
okay, so it's not because you were trying to break in somewhere and you got tased.
No, they tested the taser on me. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Well, it can kill you.
Yeah, well, it didn't kill me. I did the chicken, dropped like a sack of you-know-what.
Have you been tased?
No. Not even close.
That's got to be rock bottom if you get tased, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like, if you put yourself in a situation where the cops are like, all right, I'm going to tase you.
Well, people on drugs and that, sometimes it doesn't even work. You hear these stories of cops like, yeah, we tased the guy five times. He kept coming at us.
Would you take a tase for the Leafs to go into the second round of the playoffs?
Not for the second round.
Conference final, a tase, a good one?
What kind of voltage?
Just the worst one, like you're just...
Like I'm shaking for minutes and potentially...
Yeah, you're like a large mouth bass
problems
in the boat, just shaking around and...
No, not for the conference finals.
Dude, I would take a tase.
You take a tase for what? The Leafs making it?
I would take a tase for every round. Like, just bring a cop in here, put me out on the floor, and tase me. We go to the next round.
Joe from the bridge
and
would be
tased. And don't even think about setting it up next year.
I would support
it
that.
It could injure you.
I would support you having it, like, done to you. I'm all good with that. But the idea of me having to go through it, I'm committed to the Leafs having a good run, but... They can do it on their own. What do they need me to be tased for?
It's just going to your level of commitment. Would you take a taser?
I would take a 50,000 voltage tase for a cup final without any guarantee of an outcome. They could get swept in four. You guarantee me a cup final, that's three rounds. That's about a month and a half good run into the cup final, couple of home games.
Yeah.
You can just crush me with a taser. But each round, I'm not doing that.
We got to set it up in the fall before our first show. We're going to get tased.
We're not going to get tased.
For the cup.
Well, cops have to do that, right? Like, my brother-in-law's a cop.
Yeah, I guess they have to get tased.
Yeah, when you're going through training, like, you got to get pepper sprayed and you got to get tased.
The whole ball of wax. Those guys go through hell.
Well, and that's the worst part about that is, you know, like weeks in advance, you have it circled on your calendar. I am getting tased.
Next Thursday at
5 p.m. It's like a dental appointment. I got to be there 10 minutes early. I got to make sure I'm in the right gear, and they're going to tase me to the point where I pass out.
Wearing a diaper.
And then 2 hours later, I'm getting pepper sprayed in the face.
Man, that's some serious...
It's a commitment to the job. I'll
give
them credit.
That's why I'm always I'm pro police officer and public servant that way, because, man, they
put it on the line.
They see some stuff. They don't... They're not dealing with us three yahoos.
They live it.
Yeah.
How about the Tiger news that continues to come out? He sent out a statement last night, and he wasn't lying. My initial reaction was, uh-oh, this could cause him some big problems, because he said alcohol was not involved.
Right.
And I'm thinking at that point, Tig, if it turns out that there is some booze involved, but it turns out it's prescription drugs. He was on like three or four different types of drugs, including Vicodin. And that's equally as dangerous, if not more dangerous. I mean, when you consider the situation, like, prescription drugs are killing a lot of people.
Yes.
Killing a lot of people. Like, it's a true epidemic in the States and up here and throughout the Western world, for that matter. But 3 a.m., popping pills.
And then going for a drive.
Going for a drive. And I guess both of his driver's side wheels were flat. His bumpers were damaged. Like, it makes you wonder, was this guy running into things? Like, what the hell was he doing? How did he get to a point where he pulls over and just passes out with the blinker on?
I don't want to laugh. Like, it's
not funny, but
it's
this guy, like, asleep at the wheel is quite the maneuver.
Well, think about it. And this,
like,
is where
not drinking, but he's almost worse than banged up with booze. I don't know. It's so bizarre.
3 a.m. popping pills to the point where you're belligerent. You have no idea where you are, what you're doing. The mugshot was hours later. He still looked like he was hopped up on some serious dosage. Yeah. And that mugshot, man, stop with the memes. Stop sending me memes. Have you seen the Tiger memes that are circulating?
No.
Like in golf carts?
The ones in golf carts are brilliant.
The one I saw was... leaving work on Friday, it's Tig with the pump on 16 in front of your buddy Vern, and showing up to work on the Monday is the mugshot.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of the split screen memes going on.
Yeah, he's getting some serious meme action.
It is. But either way,
it's a scary scene, man, because now it makes you wonder, like, when did this start? How many pills has he taken? Where's this coming from?
Well, think of the surgeries he's had. Like, I just came off back surgery, and I was prescribed some heavy medication to get through the pain the first couple of days. But if you get hooked on that stuff, it's really dangerous because you got to get through the day. I'm thinking that this guy's recently had, what did he have, back surgery again recently?
Yeah.
Probably not feeling well. Pops a couple pills to either go to bed or to wind things down, and then loses
all senses.
But how
do you end up at 3 in
the
morning?
How do you?
Are you walking around in a haze and you're like, I got to go somewhere? I don't know. I'm not sure he can even explain it.
Man.
I'm not sure if he'll be able to explain it. I'm not sure how this changes the way we perceive it, the general public, where they take this, how the sponsors respond.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, I mean, in pro sports, even though you don't think of golf as a physical sport, in football this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Guys take pills, pain pillers, and they get hooked. And I'm not saying that Tiger is hooked. I don't know what the prescription is. I don't know what's going on with him. But Brett Favre's story is famous.
Yeah.
Well, hooked on pills, man.
Hooked on Vicodin.
Couldn't stop. Vicodin's played every single week. Never missed a game, but would leave the field and was popping pills nonstop.
Just to get through the pain. Like I say, there's that Percocet, Vicodin, all sorts of like things that help you get through pain management. But if you're a guy who's constantly in pain, it's easy to get hooked on it.
Jamie, every time I had surgery, I would always have the pain medication, and as soon as I felt that I didn't need it, a lot of people just put it up in the medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
Mine went in the garbage.
Mine, today is the first day I haven't taken anything for pain management. Yesterday it was two Tylenols when I first woke up.
Yeah.
But today I felt really
But I always good. Wanted I to ask, why is there so much here? I don't need this much. I need like the 2 days worth.
Usually it's about 7 to 10 days, right? And if you're taking two every 6 hours, like those numbers add up. You can have a bottle with 40 to 60 in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. My doses were lower, but I think I had a pill, a bottle with 30 pills in it. And if you take
Mine
them
would
every,
go right in the garbage because I know you go in the medicine cabinet.
Well, yeah, you don't
all
save
All of a sudden
them.
You come home and your shoulder's sore. Oh, I'll fire one of those in.
Yeah.
And then there's where the problems start.
It's a smart move.
Yeah.
It's a very smart move. It's a safe move, but I'm not sure how many people would even be thinking like that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, if you're a guy who has connections, and clearly Tiger would have connections, you don't even have to be ailing any. Your alibi doesn't have to be surgery. You can get stuff whenever you need stuff. If you're a guy that is a celebrity of that status,
oh yeah,
with that kind of connection, there's always doctors around that are like, I'll hook you up.
Look
whatever.
At Michael Jackson. This guy was. The way he passed away,
right.
Prince was on drugs.
Prince,
like,
the same thing.
Like it sucks, but it's the truth. There's a lot of people with a lot of problems out there that
you got the money,
scenes.
You got the connections.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. Ray's back in the show today. Looking back on Game One, we'll keep breaking down what went down. Which team actually should feel better about the way the game played out or the outcome of the game, Pittsburgh or Nashville? Dallas Braden back on the show because people still buzzing about what went down yesterday. Right as we were signing off, the Harper situation broke loose where he gets hit and he charges the mound. And memes left, right, and center around that helmet throw, man. That was the worst helmet toss
well, it slipped
I've
out of
ever
his hand,
seen.
You could tell, and it just went sideways on him.
Steph thought he missed it. Like we had a spirited debate last night. She thinks that he went to throw it at him and he just missed. I think he second-guessed at the last second, thinking, if I watch it again,
I just think it slipped out of his hand, and he just, it was one of those pitchers that hits the bowl.
Which is ironic, isn't it? Like, the pitcher is the guy who generally gets away from him, hits the batter, and the batter gets all rattled. Here's Harper up there. He could have taken someone out. Like, if someone's charging from the dugout and that helmet takes him out.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a lot about what went down yesterday, the response. Buster Olney on Naylor and Landsberg. He's got a unique idea of how the Giants should handle it. We'll tell you about that as well. And there is a story out of Jacksonville, Florida, featuring a peeler and a bad buffet.
I told you that yesterday.
We never got into it, though. I read
the article.
The details are they're
staggering.
Terrifying.
They're staggering.
It changes the way you view your whole life. When you hear
and
the details.
Buffets at strip joints
and women at strip clubs, everything. I think we're talking about the same story.
Absolutely, one was on stage and basically had a deuce on stage.
Not basically, did.
Yeah,
we'll tell you more about it.
I
okay?
want to talk about that as soon as we come back.
All right, we'll hit on that. And the GM of the Capitals came out and said some interesting things about his team and Alex Ovechkin. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Ray will join us in about a half an hour live from Pittsburgh. We'll look back on Game 1 of the Cup Final. Pens surviving, even though they won by two, and they were up 3-0 at one point, but won 37 minutes without a shot. Yet that 37 minutes was bookended by goals, so I'm sure they'll take it, and they'll certainly take being up 1-0.
Still pretty crazy to think of a team that talented to go that long without a shot on net.
You're in the Cup Final on home ice, and you go 37 minutes without a shot. It is crazy. That is such an anomaly. Like, you'll never see that again.
I think there were a couple attempts, but they either missed the net or one hit a skate and went wide. But you're right. It was. Yeah.
There's always a hero that realizes what's going on, and they like rip one from the red line just to.
Well, they had the power play in the third period. It didn't get a shot on it.
Yeah, it hit. I think Malkin tipped it and went wide. But outside of that, it was.
So we'll get into that with Ray in about a half an hour. We'll get back into the Bryce Harper brawl, how the league should handle it, how the Giants should handle it. More on the Tiger Woods story. But someone texting in claiming this Jacksonville stripper or strip club story could be fake news. could be fake news.
You are fake news.
Really?
I kind of hope it is fake news. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's just so abhorrent and disgusting and repulsive. So I guess some popular peeler joint in Jacksonville, Florida, some of the girls had issues controlling their bowels after contracting issues from a tainted buffet at the venue.
That's a problem.
Three of the dancers were performing on separate poles on the stage when the first sign of trouble arose. There's no way I can read through this.
Yeah, read through it and try and, like, pretend that's in the teleprompter.
Quiet.
Pretend right. That's in the prompter.
All right,
they're swearing.
No, because I don't trust you at all. According to an eyewitness who was close to the stage, he says he noticed a bad smell and thought the guy next to him had passed gas. Next, he says he noticed the smell started to get worse as others around him began to look around to see where the smell was coming from. He continues by saying that one of the dancers could no longer hold it. This is so, so disgusting. A stream of brown liquid was seen running down the stripper's legs. And all of a sudden, it was gushing all over the stage.
This isn't good.
To the point where she had to run off the stage, and the patrons around the stage began throwing up as they ran towards the exit.
It's a horror movie.
It really is your worst nightmare.
It's like Stand By Me at the pie eating contest where everyone just started throwing up.
Yeah, that's...
I can't go there. We can't even do it anymore.
How could you ever return to that club?
You never will.
Imagine seeing that poor girl down the road. How could she return to action? I don't know how you could come over. Like, how could you possibly get over something so traumatic?
Right.
Chastity, Amber Lynn, and Crystal all started just falling apart on stage.
I would have been brokenhearted back in my dollhouse days. I had a regular...
incident?
Just a dancer that was...
friendly.
Yeah. Her name was Aloha. I would have been devastated.
What do you think her real name was?
It was Aloha.
No, it wasn't.
There's no way her real name was Aloha.
Dude, you don't think I popped the question, what's your real name? She said Aloha.
Yeah, but she
I looked
didn't...
at her driver's license, everything. It was Aloha.
So she was made for that business,
though. She had changed it.
The second you get named Aloha, your future becomes pretty
clear.
Dude,
don't judge, man. Don't judge Aloha.
This is traumatic, man. Imagine being just up close and personal, having yourself a time, thinking this is great.
And it doesn't go well.
And then shrimp or whatever was on the buffet.
Raw chicken
or whatever just leads to
quiet.
Absolute disaster.
We need to focus.
All right, let's get back on track here.
Where do you want to head?
Well, Ray's coming up in a half an hour. Why don't we touch on what Brian McClellan, the GM of the Capitals, had to say about the Caps and their situation and Alex Ovechkin? Because I don't think you guys are really reading into it, but we'll come back and we'll steal a game from PTI.
Sure.
They play a game called Is This Something or Nothing?
That's a good game.
We'll plagiarize a little bit. We don't generally steal people's bits. We never
Non-gi.
Do that. We would never do that
Can
to
you
somebody.
Imagine if we found out someone was doing Weegee Non-gi?
Or Jerry's percentages or yeah, like, Grit Grinder?
Yeah, like someone sends us some audio of another station doing Jerry's percentages and Jerry's making predictions.
Be awesome.
It kind of would be flattering.
I think
in a way.
It is flattering because that means you've made it.
Anyway.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. So we'll play that audio and we'll steal a bit. Is that something or nothing?
How about just, is it a little bit or a little bit about nothing? We'll change the name.
All right, we'll alter it a little bit for patent purposes so
Weegee
we don't get sued.
Nogi.
What about just Weegee Nogi?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll steal somebody else's bit. We're going to steal something in 2 minutes. A couple people tweeting in and texting in saying you really didn't have to tell us about that story.
Yeah.
About the peeler joint in Jacksonville. You guys didn't sound that committed.
No.
Both of you were kind of like, nah, I'm okay.
I go into any stories about peelers, but that one was just...
it was offside.
Too much.
Hey, listen, man, I'm just trying to report the news, although, according to some, it could be fake news.
You are fake news.
Then you insulted Aloha.
Yes.
Yeah, your old friend Aloha. Whatever happened to her?
It didn't end good.
Like, what type of end good? Like,
well, we were dating. Like, we were dating.
You were friends.
No, we were, like, dating. Seriously.
So, like, Aloha O'Neal was a possibility.
It was out there.
Really? And what happened?
I don't know. She got mad one night, and she was bashing down my apartment door, and I had to call security. Wow. Then I let her in, and we made friends, but then it was just over.
Did you say aloha?
Don't judge aloha.
My bad. I'll never do that again. Anyway, all right, you want to hear from Brian McClellan, the GM of the Caps?
Yeah, let's see where
he took a while, man. You talk about letting it breathe. The Caps were out like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he just spoke with the media today, which is kind of what Masai Ujiri did with the Raptors. Like, he was so rattled about them losing. He's like, let it breathe. Let the dust settle. Let me think over where I want
to
go with this.
Plus, you probably have to have meetings with ownership and go through all a forensic audit of your whole organization.
Well, with that in mind, he's been putting thought into it. He knew what was coming. He knew someone was going to ask him about Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Because the whole hockey world was debating it. Should you trade him? Would they trade him? If they traded him, what would the repercussions be? Here's what the GM of the Caps had to say about the idea of even trading Alex Ovechkin.
He's a big part of our franchise, a big part of our history. He's been a big part of where we're at as an organization. And just to casually say, let's trade him for what? For who? I don't think it's makes sense from an organizational point of view. Maybe at some point, if there's, you know, a legitimate hockey deal that came up available, but I don't know that that's where we're at right now. I just think he's got a history here. He's a big part of this franchise, and he'll continue to be going forward.
All right. So what do we make of that?
From listening to that, I see the general manager saying that just what it is. There's a history here, and he's a big part of the Caps, and the owner loves him, and he's not going anywhere. But he threw in the little nugget there, if there was ever a hockey deal. But I don't know what the hell that deal would ever look like. But he basically said, I don't know if that's saying, hey, if you ever have, if you're another GM and you can think of a hockey deal, maybe call me. But I don't know what a deal would look like.
It didn't. If I had to do a Jerry's percentage, it sounded like 85% that he was like, Ovechkin's going nowhere. But 15% like, put together something if you really want.
There's kind of an element when you hear that. Like, in his brain, he almost wants to say, if I could ever find a deal, I would move the guy, but there's probably no such deal. And he's a big part of the franchise for the organization. The owner loves the guy, so he's going to stay here.
The other thing, too, when reading the whole comment and his whole the transcript of the conversation, he made it abundantly clear, like, almost like, this guy's going nowhere, even if I wanted him to, because of the history of the organization.
I would say there's a small Jerry's percentage out of that comment where it's like, I got this guy on my roster, whether I like it or not.
That sounds like the kind of comment Mark Bergevin would make this time last year with P.K. Subban. Big part of the team.
Good comparison.
If there was ever a hockey deal, but, you know, in other words, if a team called up and said, okay, Shea Weber's available, done.
Right.
Done. I think there is something to this because most GMs, like if you ask Jim Rutherford today, now you'd never do it because he's in the Cup final. Hey, would you ever trade Crosby? He'd tell you to get the hell out of the room. He'd protect him 100%. He'd say, no chance, never going to happen. You're a dummy for asking. Peter Chiarelli would say the same thing. Don't ask me about Connor McDavid going anywhere. What are you talking about? He's not going anywhere. Fact that you even say, maybe if there was a deal,
You open the door. All you've done is open the door for
speculation. You've opened the door for speculation when people are praying for you to open the door for speculation because they've been doing it on your behalf for the past month and a half, waiting for you, the guy who's actually in charge, although he's not because it's the owner that's going to make the decision with Ovechkin, to tell us whether or not you would even contemplate trading Ovechkin. And it sounds like he would contemplate it if there was a hockey deal. Well, who's to say there won't be in the next month and a half?
I wouldn't trade Alex Ovechkin because you're never going to get the value that you believe he is worth. Let's not forget, this is the greatest goal scorer of all time, of all time.
Do you believe he will be, though, for the next 4 years?
I believe this guy can get 30 in his sleep. This guy gets 30-plus in a bad year. In a league that can't score. Like, Think, wrap your head around that. This guy gets 30 plus easily in a league that, that 30 is the new 50. So is he going to have production from this guy for 4 years? Yes. And at his age and what he brings value outside of those goals, you're not going to get, you're not trading him for Austin Matthews. You're not trading him for Connor McDavid or players of that ilk. What you're doing is getting bit pieces back, and maybe you try and find a Philip Forsberg for Martin. Not, that's even a bad comparison. But you try and find somebody who's up and coming that could replace.
I think what you would be realistically looking at is a Phil Kessel deal. You'd probably have to eat some money to get rid of him. And you'd be looking at cap relief and the idea of moving in a different direction for the sake of moving in a different direction.
Right.
That's probably what you're looking at with the idea of moving Ovechkin, because he's north of 30 now. He's got a $9.5 million cap hit for another 4 years. He is a diminishing asset just because he's not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago, and he will never return and to that player.
Here's the thing, though. Brian McClellan, and we didn't play the comments later, where he said, I'm not in the business of making my team worse. And a trade, like, I'm not going to trade anybody to make. If he trades Alex Ovechkin for a lesser situation to move him, his team is worse today because of it.
I'm not sure that has to be the case. If you're relieving yourself of that kind of cap space, it opens up the door to a lot more flexibility. Are you going to find one player that can bring you what Ovechkin will? No, realistically, that's not going to happen. Could you find two or three that you spread throughout your lineup that can add to your team dynamic? That is possible.
But I he said if the cap goes to $77 million, this was his comments today, that he doesn't think they're going to have a problem with signing TJ
Oshie back.
So they're going to get Oshie back. Like, that team is still a superpower team. I don't think he's going to do anything other than nip and tuck and try and deal with his UFAs. What he did, and this is his own fault, he opened the door ever so slightly for people to go, yeah, maybe this guy's available. But I don't see a deal out there that makes the Washington Capitals better by moving Alex Ovechkin out for a lesser player or a combination of lesser players.
Better in the regular season, no. What are they hanging on to in the postseason? A history of choking in the first or second round.
Yeah, but that's not all on Alex Ovechkin.
No, it's not.
Because Nick Backstrom went to sleep, Kuznetsov, a lot of those guys who are in that dressing room and have done it now a couple years in a row, Braden Holtby has to own some of that too.
Sure. I'm not saying it doesn't spread out, but he's always going to be the focal point.
You're
right. He's
captain.
He's the guy who's been there for a long time. My man Hayes tweeting in. He said McClellan had to expect that question, and he answered it in a calculated way. Opens the door for GMs to bring in offers. I agree with that
That's a good point.
This was not off the cuff right after Game 7 walking out the rink, Jonas sticking a mic in his face saying, would you trade him?
Right.
This is 3 weeks later, knowing it's coming, speaking with his owner, speaking with his PR staff, and saying, when it comes, how do I answer it? And he did specifically say, if there was a hockey deal, maybe, but I don't think we're at that point. I just think the door is open more now than it ever has been with Ovechkin.
You're right, but there's
being
probably
traded from
those
Washington.
Comments could apply to 99.9% of the league. It's not going to apply to McDavid. It's probably not going to apply to Crosby, and probably won't. If you're in Toronto, it's probably not going to apply to Matthews and maybe three other players.
Carey Price, but do you know who it hasn't applied to for 13 years?
Ovechkin?
Alex Ovechkin. For 13 years, you included him in that group.
Yep.
Not going anywhere. Never in a million years.
And I still don't believe he is. I honestly don't think he is.
I don't think he is either. I think it's because of how complicated the trade would be more than anything, to be honest with you, because of the cap hit.
And plus, this guy would control his own destiny. It's not like he...
That's another thing. Trade, full no move.
Exactly. If they say we're moving you to Arizona because Ekman Larson's on the table, he'd say, to hell. The hell with you. Get the hell out of my office, but...
Yeah, get out of my office.
Yeah, he would kick Leonis out of his own office.
Right.
For Brian McClellan.
Ray will join us in about 15 minutes. Dallas Braden on the brawl between the Nationals and the Giants and the Blue Jays breaking out last night. 23 hits, 17 runs. That was a statement that they're getting healthy. They're ready to rock. Haps on the mound tonight. Liriano has been cleared. He's going to start on Friday.
I was thinking about you yesterday as far as the Cincinnati Reds. You might as well go ahead and just carve them because they're the New Jersey Devils of the baseball world.
Completely irrelevant.
You could care less about Cincinnati.
Could not even care at all. Never.
Just rip them to shreds.
Maybe I'll give them the Devils treatment.
No, yeah.
Bottom five relevant team in Major League Baseball.
Watch Cincinnati's going to
Why don't we do a top 10 list of the least relevant sports teams?
Okay. Of the big four? All right, let's put our minds together.
We'll come up with a top 10 least relevant pro sports clubs.
Could have been the Leafs a few years ago.
But they got too much history. They're too – I hear you.
From a winning standpoint?
Oh, the way they were built, I've said that many times. If they were in Florida, they would have been contracted. They would have been playing in the American Hockey League.
Shut this down?
Yes. You're out of the league. Yeah, no like one that, cares
but
for you.
Now, I mean,
we're not
the
even
case.
Talking quality. We're just going to go relevant.
Right.
We got to fly.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Ray will join us live from Pittsburgh, looking back on Game 1 of the Cup Final, start teeing up Game 2. And Dallas Braden will join us, former MLB pitcher, on what went down last night between Bryce Harper, the Nationals, the Giants. What kind of retribution can we expect going forward? We'll get back into that conversation. Bobby Mack later in the afternoon. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.